Thank you for coming to Mass this morning on this cold, dark January morning. Your presence here and your prayer move me and inspire me. In this year of faith, the Church calls us to build each other up in faith, and so how important it is for us to gather as a community this morning to worship God and to look at each other as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of that mystical body that St. Paul speaks so powerfully about in the second reading today. The gospel today is one of the most dramatic, pivotal moments in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the lectionary puts together the very beginning of Luke's gospel and the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And so we see Luke's intention in writing the gospel is not simply to narrate historic events, but it's to bring other people to faith in Jesus Christ. To say, I want you to know this man who I came to discover through the witness of the apostles. And so each of the four sacred gospels for us is an icon, a window, a door that leads us into the very mystery of Christ. And then we see Jesus in all of the promise and power at the beginning of his public ministry. And he goes back to Nazareth, where he was raised. And as is his custom, he stands up and he proclaims this powerful passage from the prophet Isaiah. What Isaiah is giving in this passage is a job description of the Messiah, of the one whom Israel expects to come as Savior and as Lord. And so Jesus proclaims these ageless words that Israel has meditated upon and heard and proclaimed for hundreds of years. And then comes the most breathtaking moment. At the end of the proclamation, Jesus says, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I am the fulfillment of this ancient prophecy. It must have knocked the socks off of the people listening to Jesus' dramatic announcement. Today they accept him with joy. Next Sunday we'll hear how they reject him once he starts unpacking what Messiah means, what Lord means. But to think that here's this man that they thought they knew through and through. Perhaps they played with him as a child. They certainly knew his parents. He came from this little one-horse town called Nazareth. And so today's gospel confronts us with the scandal of the particularity of the incarnation. That in this one person living in this one historical moment, in this one little place, the fullness of God has been made manifest to us. So either Jesus Christ is who he says he is, or he is the most deluded person that has ever lived. Either what he says is true, or it is so dramatically false that we must reject it. It's one or the other. And so Jesus' proclamation of himself as Messiah and Lord demands a decision from us. Either he is true or he is not. We are here this morning because we are convinced of the truth of Jesus' messiahship and lordship and divinity and presence in our lives. We are here because the Lord has powerfully put his hand on our hearts and our minds and our lives, and we have come into relationship with him. And that means for us that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is our brother. Jesus is our greatest friend. He is the answer to all of our questions about life. He is the solution to all of our dilemmas about being human. He is our purpose and our destiny. And in this year of faith, the Church invites us to step into a greater intimacy with him and to give witness of that friendship and that knowledge with others. It's what the new evangelization is all about. We do that through prayer. We do that through steady, committed prayer. To pray every day as a disciple of the Lord, to tap into that relationship with Christ. And no matter where we are on the continuum of faith, to know that all of us are being called to go a step deeper into prayer, a step further into the heart of Christ. So how is your prayer life? How is my prayer life? It needs to get better. mine needs to get better in this year of faith. And so the Lord puts before us prayer as the window or the door through which we can enter into the very heart of Christ. Secondly, the sacraments, especially sacraments of Eucharist and confession, we come face to face with the Lord Jesus. Indeed, he enters into our very being when we receive his body and blood. And there lies the beauty and the mystery of today's second reading. The most definitive identity of the church is the body of Christ. And so all of us, baptized into the fullness of Christ, are the extension of his life, his ministry, and his salvation through time and space. That's amazing. It means that the Lord entrusts to the likes of us the fullness of his ministry, the fullness of the promise of his salvation, that we indeed are the body of Christ, and the Lord has placed us exactly where he wants us to be, that we have some work to do, we have some message to proclaim, we have some souls to touch that no one else can touch, that no one else can proclaim, that no one else can do. And so the eye is not the hand and the ear is not the nose. Each one of us has been placed within the mystical body of Christ for a divine purpose. And so who are the people in your life? Who are the people in my life that the Lord wants to use us in order to reach, in order to invite into this divine friendship? The power of the Eucharist and the power of confession draws us into that identity as the mystical body of Christ. And thirdly, by studying Scripture. Imagine how different the church and the world would be if every Catholic sat down every day and studied and prayed over Scripture for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just take one of the Gospels and pray it through over the course of time. Just read one paragraph. What sentence, what word, what image strikes you? And then pray over that, meditate over that. Scripture becomes that sacred window through which we come into divine intimacy with the Lord Jesus. In this year of faith, then, the Lord and the church are inviting us to step into a greater knowledge, a greater love, a greater passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give witness to that to the world, to not keep it to ourselves. Imagine if Mary Magdalene had kept to herself the wonderful experience she had of the risen Christ. Imagine if after Pentecost, Simon Peter just went back to fishing and said, well, look, these are great experiences, but I need to earn a living. Imagine if the saints had kept to themselves their experience, their mystical experience of the Lord. Our faith rests on the testimony, the witness, and the experience of all of those who have gone before us. And the faith of those to come in some mysterious way is dependent upon our faith response, upon our witness. And so the Lord calls us to live our faith with all of our heart, to stir us up, to do mighty deeds, as the opening prayer for Mass proclaimed. We ask the Lord Jesus then to open our hearts to him today. So at some point in this Mass, perhaps during the consecration, perhaps in the Thanksgiving after communion, perhaps during the announcements, open your heart to the Lord. Invite him to come in a deeper way into your life, to take over every aspect of your being. Because that is our vocation, to be an extension of Christ in this world, to be part of that beautiful mystical body that was born in an explosion of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and will continue on to eternal life. We praise and thank God for that beautiful gift of vocation, born in the waters of baptism, ratified in the death and resurrection of Christ, nourished in the power of this Eucharist. We praise God, as the first reading tells us, to rejoice in the Lord, to truly rejoice, because we are profoundly loved by the Son of God. And that should make us get up and dance, even on a cold January morning like today.